The following khutbah is titled Bathe Yourself with Money.
Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu subhanahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'd فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, as you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed Hajj the year before he passed away. But the year before he performed the farewell Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a group of people to perform Hajj, and the Amir of that group was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Surah Bara'ah for it to be recited amongst the people during the Hajj. Because in that Hajj, there were still mushrikeen who were there performing Hajj. And there were still people who were doing tawaf of the Kaaba naked. And there were still remnants of this. And so they were sent, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sent. And so he gave the task to Ali radiallahu anhu. And so Ali radiallahu anhu stood amongst the people. And he declared Surah Bara'ah so that everyone can hear. And these aren't just ayat that we're reciting in Salah for Barakah and finishing the Taraweeh. This is the legislation of our deen. And it was recited as legislation. And he started off, Bara'atum min Allahi wa rasulihi ila alladhina ahadtum min al-mushrikeen. That Allah and His Messenger have disavowed those mushrikeen that were in the ahd before. And as the ayat proceeded, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu began reciting it to the people, he came to qawluhu ta'ala, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. He recited qawluhu ta'ala that if they repent, and that's not the end, it's just not about repentance. فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, that if they repent, and if they establish the salah, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and if they give zakah, then and only then are they your brothers in faith. After the salah, and after the zakah, فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Dear brothers and sisters, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you'll hear the wording of what, when they would put their hand on the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, بَايَعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ إِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَعَلَىٰ إِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَالنُّصْحِ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. He said, I pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this Islam that I've entered into, I've pledged allegiance that I would establish the salah. I would not miss my salah. And number two, that I would give the zakah. And I would not hold it back. And that I would give nasiha to every Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the pillars of Islam is the zakah. And subhanallah, we hear the khutbahs, but very rarely do we hear those khutbahs on zakah. And inshaAllah ta'ala, I wanted to spend the next few moments telling you about this pillar of Islam. A believer knows that this zakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. It's the third pillar of Islam. It's not just some good thing, virtuous action that a person does. Your Islam, a person's Islam, doesn't stand up without zakah. It collapses if that zakah is not there. And when a person gives it, they give it with an open heart. They give it with an open heart because they're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the bounty that Allah azza wa jal gave to them. And you will see this throughout the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the people to give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِن مَالِ اللَّهِ. He says, give from the wealth of Allah that He gave you. And so the believer knows that the wealth that they have doesn't necessarily belong to them. It's belong to him or her. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places it in their hands to test them. And it's a test from Allah azza wa jal. And so when that person gives the zakah, not only are they thanking Allah azza wa jal for that bounty, but on top of that, they're thanking Allah azza wa jal for the tawfiq to be able to give the charity. For the tawfiq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included them as amongst those people that didn't hide and hoard their wealth. When you see the time of zakah coming near, very often you will hear people say, who am I going to give zakah to? Where are the poor people? Where are the needy? And when someone says that, that's a very sad reality of this person's life. That he doesn't know where the needy people are. And that he lives his year, day and night, while other families go hungry, and he doesn't know where the needy people are. And I'm saying that it is a sad reality, but inshallah ta'ala that things will change and we will start to enliven. One of the foundations that we have here at the Dar es Salaam community is the Zakah Foundation. And I've said it again and again, if anybody wants to give da'wah, you may think that da'wah is standing in a street with a sign that says, turn back, the end is near. Da'wah is being part of the Zakah Foundation. You don't have to give speeches. You don't have to hand out pamphlets. You just take care of the people. And you will be calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will be explained further. Sometimes in the salah, the imam prays, leads the prayer, and then immediately after salah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, boom, someone jumps up and runs out of the masjid. I'm sure you've seen it, you may have even been in that situation before. Right? The imam said, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Already people, on their second salam, their legs have begun the incline to get out of the masjid. If you ever see someone like that, running in such a way, you know that they have a very big himmah on their head. There's something desperate that needs to be filled. Either they're double parking someone outside, or something else. But subhanAllah, when you compare this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did the same thing. The salah completed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately stood up, walked out of the masjid. And then the people said, what is this himmah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to leave the masjid so quickly? And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I remembered that there was some wealth in my home and I hadn't given it out in zakah. I haven't given it out in sadaqah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, انشغل قلبه, his heart was distracted by this, that he still had that wealth and he hadn't given it out. And I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, how many of us have jumped out of salah with that himma, knowing that there's some money in their pocket that they need to be giving out in sadaqah? And we're not talking about zakah, we're talking about voluntary sadaqah. And I'll tell you, there is a time when people jump out of the salah like that. It's income tax return time. Where people jump out, they'll say, it's August 15th, I haven't paid my taxes. They pray salah and they jump out back home, back on the computer trying to file their taxes online. That himmah to pay taxes like that, but not a himmah to give the zakah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, if someone, a Bedouin heard the word zakah, without understanding the sharia meaning of it, an Arab person understands it understands it with the meaning of to purify and to bless something. Or you might find someone when they go to get a recommendation letter and they want to apply for Al-Azhar University, Al-Medina University, they'll say, I need a tazkiyah. I need a tazkiyah because it's purifying their character to the administration office. And the zakah, it's an amat, it gives blessing into the wealth and it purifies. And subhanAllah, as you see people bathing themselves every single day, in the morning, in the evening, maybe three times, four times a day, people are taking showers. I'm telling you that you can bathe yourself with your money. You can bathe yourself with your money, and that is by giving it in zakah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in giving sadaqah. How does the zakah purify a person? How does it cleanse them? How does it wash them? How does it bathe them? The zakah first and foremost cleans the heart from stinginess. And it purifies the person from being a miser. And subhanAllah, when I think of misers, I think immediately back into our elementary schools. In the times when a child would have a box of crayons, 50,000 crayons this child has. And another child says to him, "Can I borrow one of your 200 shades of red?" And he says, "No, you cannot have it." وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ The zakah, when a person gives it, it's almost like an obstacle, a roadblock. And if you've been in a fundraising dinner or something, you will see someone holding back with their hand. But when they put that money into the box, it's like they're smashing down the wall of that disease of stinginess in their heart. It breaks down. And then after that, you will find that they're still giving. They're leaving the fundraiser with a smile. They're giving some more. Here, let me buy you some lunch and so on. Because that wall of stinginess was broken down. Secondly, that the wealth, when it's accumulated with dirt. There's dirt related to that wealth. And when someone gives zakah, they're purifying their wealth. And there was someone who told me once that they had accumulated a huge amount of money in their bank account. And then day and night this person was thinking that a boulder's going to fall down on my head until I give zakah from this money. Because it was just too much money to have for one person and it was beyond that person's need. So the zakah purifies that wealth, so it's pured wealth. When you look at that kenz, that treasure the person has, he says, "Ya Rabbi, I've purified this with the zakah." So it purifies the person's heart and it purifies their wealth. On top of that, it purifies the khuluq of the person that's giving. The khuluq of the person, that marad, like we said, of the stinginess, that disease, it's purified. And then the other characteristics, you don't find people who are enormous in giving zakah backbiting. It starts to protect them from the other diseases of the heart and the other bad characters and pushes forward with more good characteristics. In the history of the Muslimin, and indeed it's enormously important that we understand what the Khulafa, what the Sahaba did for this deen, so that we have that living example of what we are supposed to be doing for the deen. Amongst the Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Arab, they apostated and they left Islam, you had two groups of people. You had people who claimed to be prophets. You know Musaylima, and there are others who claim to be prophets themselves. They'll say, "Me too, I want to call out to prophethood." So you had these group of people. Then you had others who said, "We will still be Muslim and we will do the four pillars of Islam. All we don't want to do is we don't want to pay zakah anymore. That's all we don't want to do. That's it. We'll do everything. Just take this part out about zakah." And now if you're a leader, and you think that, look, here is someone who's claiming to be a prophet, they got armies of 50,000, it's going to be a huge battle, and indeed it was. And now you have others who are still claiming to be Muslim, but they just don't want to pay zakat. Normally a Muslim leader will say, "Let's go attack those people, the bigger problem." And in fact, this was almost unanimous amongst the Sahaba. They said, "Leave the people who don't want to pay zakat, let's focus on our bigger problems." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the only one who stood up and he said, "No way." He said, "La uqatilanna." He said, "I'm going to fight and I'm going to go to war with anybody who tries to separate bayn as-salah wa zakah." He said, "We will go to war and we will have our soldiers die and they will have people die amongst them, but nobody separates zakah from salah." And so Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard this from Abu Bakr and he said, "فَوَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَنْ رَأَيْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَرَحَ صَدْرَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ لِلْقِتَالِ فَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ." He said that it wasn't when I saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened the heart of Abu Bakr in realizing that they have to go to war on this zakah. He said, at that moment, when I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the tawfiq to understand this principle, he said, I knew it was the truth. That nobody separates zakah from salah. And nobody takes it out of the deen. In Surah At-Tawbah, and where in times of dua, many times when people make dua, they forget to ask for the akhirah. And again, I remember when we were younger, when the parents would tell us, you know, make dua, we would make dua for toys. And it's not something bad. But you'd see the children make dua for toys. And I remember one of my friends and my classmates in the Quran school that I went to. And he used to, when anybody would make dua, he would take candies from his pockets. And then he would sneak up behind the person and drop the candies in their hands. So that the person would think, oh, my dua was accepted. Because often people are focusing on the dunya in their dua. And the correct way, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, is not to only ask for the akhirah and not to only ask for the dunya, but to ask for both. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people who make promises to Allah in their dua that they want money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is in Surah Tawbah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ. And from them are those, they almost like they write a contract, a covenant between them and Allah. لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If you give us from your virtue, from your bounty, لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ. For sure, we will give the sadaqah in wealth. And how many times do you hear people in university saying, I want to study computers so I can get $80,000 and give it all to the masjid. And I want to study this so I can get big amount of money and give it all to the masjid. And you can go to those masjid, they don't know where those people are now. لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. That we will give it in sadaqah and we will give it, we will be from the righteous people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them from His fadl, from His virtue, from His bounty, بَخِلُوا بِهِ. That they became stingy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, وَتَوَلَّوْا. And they turned their back, وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And they averted, don't talk to me, oh, another fundraising dinner, I'm busy this weekend, and they move around. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. That because of that action that they took, they turned back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants in their heart hypocrisy. They take back with them hypocrisy. And that's what we said about zakat cleaning a person. It cleans their heart from those diseases of the heart. Yahya ibn Mu'adh, rahimahullah, he said, I've always been amazed at someone who has wealth, yet they're stingy. They have so much wealth, yet they're stingy. It amazes me because their Lord, his Lord gave him that wealth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requests a loan from the wealth that he gave to the person. And the person says back to Allah, no, I'm not going to give you. Even though it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave him this. I wanted to tell you about the hukum of someone who delays the paying of zakah. The hukum of delaying of the paying of zakah. Because it's not some simple matter. When the zakah becomes fard, initially, the zakah is due to the wealth. But once a person passes the deadline, their April 15th has passed, now the sin directly, it's not about the money anymore, it's about that specific person. The sin goes directly on them. And so when they say, oh, you know, I missed giving zakah, it's been a month, 2 months, number one, he has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And come back to Allah Azza wa Jal for the enormous sin that that person's committed. And then secondly, that wealth will continue to belong to the poor people. It does not belong to the person because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon this person to give it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us what happens to a community when they don't have their zakat foundation, when the zakat isn't passing through the community. Number one is that famine will come to the people. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that there will not be a people who hold back the zakat except that the rains from the heavens will be held back from them because of their hoarding of the wealth and their holding back of the zakat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us that a community is destroyed when they hold back the zakat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالشُّحْ. He said, beware. And just like you see warnings everywhere you go, beware of this, beware of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beware of stinginess. فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الشُّحْ. For verily the people who came before you were destroyed because of their stinginess. And on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they should not think those who hold back and are stingy with their wealth from giving it for the sake of Allah, that it's better for them. And this is the idea that the human has, that why should I give the sadaqah? Because if I save it, I'll make more money and then one day I might give it or something like that. They think that it's better for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ. That it's more evil for them. So يُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That when they are chained on the day of resurrection, they will be chained and go into hellfire with the chains of their wealth. They will be punished with their wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that there's not a person who has livestock, the animals, the goats, the sheep, the camels, and then that person hides that and holds it back out of their stinginess, not giving it for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of resurrection, those animals will come with their claws, with their horns, and will continue to punish this person. Throughout, on a day, as the Prophet ﷺ said, كَانَ مِقْدَارُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. On a day which will extend for 50,000 years. That wealth that the person held back will continue to punish this person until the resurrection begins. Dear brothers and sisters, in preparing this khutbah, I came across some of the companions, some of the tabi'een, who may have spent their entire life and they never gave zakat. And you may think, how is this so? Because they never left their money in their pockets. If they had the money, they gave it fi sabilillah. And I give you the example of Al-Layth ibn Sa'ad, rahimahullah. You may have heard of him as being one of the ulama at the time of Imam Malik. So much so that they said he was more knowledgeable than Imam Malik. One of the things that you might not know is that Al-Layth ibn Sa'ad, rahimahullah, used to spend on Imam Malik when Imam Malik was a student. And so from the benefits of the Malikiya school of thought, the reward bi-idhnillah goes to Imam Layth for taking care of Imam Malik. Imam Layth, rahimahullah, it's mentioned in his biography that he never paid zakat, even though he was extremely wealthy. Why? Because he never left one year pass by except that he had spent his money. He accumulated the money and spent it for the sake of Allah. Accumulated and sent it for the sake of Allah. But now if I ask a normal community how many people have paid zakat in their lives, not too many people will raise their hand. Why is that so? Is it because they're giving all the zakat? No, they might not know the rulings of zakat. They might not know that there are things in their homes and properties and so on that they should have been paying zakat, but the knowledge didn't come to them and they didn't pay it. And so I'm just going to give you some examples of what a person has to pay zakat into. And first and foremost, just not to confuse you, firstly is the money that a person has. The money that a person has, if they're accumulating it and they're storing it, they have to pay zakat on that money. If it's reached the nisab, and inshallah ta'ala, I'm not going to go into details, but that's a threshold, a minimum amount of money, and then a year passes, the person has to pay zakat in that wealth. A second thing that a lot of people don't know that they have to pay zakat in, or before that, the third one
sorry, the second is gold, the gold and silver that a person has. And a lot of times there will be jewelry, and I know there's a difference of opinion regarding the jewelry, but a lot of women have jewelry that is not meant to be worn. It's accumulated, passed down from generation to generation. Here is the gold that is just hoarded. And a person really has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see, are they really using this jewelry or not? And some of the scholars even said that even if you are using the jewelry, you still have to pay zakat for that. And it's a very serious matter. A third thing that a lot of people don't know that they have to pay zakat in is business commodities, warehouses and storage. Sometimes a person has a store and they accumulate or they gather a lot of food and commodities. Those items that they've accumulated in order to sell, or someone may have bought land. They have properties and that they're planning, when it gets more expensive and the market goes up, they're planning to sell it out. They have to pay zakat for that every single year. And so they have to set a date. And that's why I'm saying a lot of people don't know that. And there's a lot of business owners, a lot of people that have things in storage. And they have to calculate how much that is worth. And then they have to give 2.5% of that if it passed the nisab. And other things such as the fruits and crops, such as the cattle, such as minerals, such as extracted treasures. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, من استطاع منكم أن يجعل كنزه حيث لا يأكله السوس ولا تناله السراق فليفعل. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, store your wealth where no worms can eat it and where it cannot be reached by thieves. Store your wealth and invest it in sadaqah. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها There once was a woman who came to her with two little girls, two young daughters. And she asked عائشة رضي الله عنها for some sadaqah. And Aisha radiallahu anha, and subhanAllah, even on the way to this khutbah, I kept thinking about this. She said she searched the home. What home is this? This is the home of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said that she found nothing except one date. Just pay attention to that. This is the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if anyone deserved to have the treasures of the heavens and the earth, it would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She found one date in it. And so did she say, I have nothing except one date, what am I going to eat? She said, no. She said, all I have is one date, this is for you. She gave everything that she had. And so when she gave that date to the woman, she had two daughters. She took the date and divided it in half. And I know in iftar time, we take these things for granted. A date, a date, a date, a date, and we keep eating. This is one woman, two daughters. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she divided it amongst them. And she didn't divide it into three parts. She divided it into two parts so that her children could eat and she would remain hungry. And she cared for her children. And so Aisha radiallahu anha was amazed at the generosity of this woman. And indeed we are amazed at the generosity of Aisha radiallahu anha. And bi-ithnillah, when someone understands the sunnah that was left behind by the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the sunnah that was left behind, the example of the Sahaba, that inshaAllah ta'ala, we would have lessons and we will have a roadmap for us to go forward. And I recall a story of a man. And I know there's a difference of opinion about transporting a body from one area to another area when a person dies. And the sunnah is that a person should be buried where they die. This person, in his wasiyah, in his will, he wished for his family, his son and his wife, to transport his body to his parents, who lived about 500 miles away. And his son wrote a little, kind of like a poem, about that event. And in the poem, he writes that how the body was washed, and then the person who was doing that, you know, in the funeral home, he said that we want to transport the body to such and such a place. He said, I will do it, I will take him in my car. And then that funeral person, he sat down and calculated the cost. He said, I'm going to be there 6 days, going and coming, the meals, staying at a motel and so on. He calculated the cost, and he was almost embarrassed to tell the person, that son and his mother, how much it would cost. And so he began to blush. And so he told the wife of the deceased, the widow, he said to her, is it okay? And she said, yes, it's okay. And she didn't understand too much English. And she just said, whatever. And so the son, he knew that now is the moment of payment. And so the mother, she took out the wallet of his father. He took out the wallet of his father. And as she took it out of her pocket, this was her husband's, her deceased husband's wallet. And he writes, and I'll read you to his words. We stared at the wallet for a minute. Nobody said anything. All the life had gone out of that wallet. It was old, and it was rented, and it was soiled. But it was my dad's wallet. And she opened it and looked inside. She drew out a handful of money that would go towards this last most astounding trip. And even though he's talking about the trip from one graveyard to the other, indeed, a person has to look at their wallet and see what have they prepared for their trip to the hereafter. Often we hear when zakat time comes around that people say and ask the question, can we send our zakat money overseas? And again, like I said, that this might be a reflection of a person not knowing the needy people in their community. And if you see when the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he said that after they accept the shahada, after they accept the salah, he said, then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard zakat to be taken from their rich and to be given to their poor. And to be given to their poor. Meaning that that zakat that was to be taken from the people of Yemen was to be given to the poor of the people of Yemen. And I've grown up in North America, and I've seen again and again how the zakat goes overseas. And Allah knows that there are people overseas that are needy. And I'm not saying that. But Allah also knows that in our communities there are people who are needy. There are people who are needy. And when we don't know that, like I said, that's a very sad reflection on our state of affairs. And we have to know. I'm speaking specifically about Washington, D.C. When Zakatul Fitr time comes, and it's coming in a few days. Here at Dar es Salaam, you know that the food is collected outside. You will see the cans out there, people put their food. When it's distributed, and subhanAllah, I saw just a few amount of brothers that go and distribute it in D.C., and I'm not saying D.C., it can be Maryland, it could be Virginia. When they distribute the food, they will come back and tell you that there are more people who are needy than the amount of food that we have. They will tell you this. And those needy people, I knew I used to live in Medina, when Zakatul Fitr time comes, we would have 10 bags of rice stacked at our door. And we would ask the Shaykh, can we give some of the zakat that we receive to other people? At that time, I used to say to myself, if only the people who are giving the zakah understood the lesson and gave all year long. Because specifically in our university, at the beginning of the year, the monthly stipend would be delayed. And a lot of people would be in need. And I used to say, where are the Ramadan zakah people now? And this has to be understood. And so I'm just going to give you examples of where the zakah money is to be spent. And a lot of these avenues of where are spent are not understood by our communities. Number one is مُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ الْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Those are people who are non-Muslim. The zakat is given to them to warm their heart to Islam. To warm their heart. So you see the Prophet ﷺ, for example, giving 100 sheep, 100 camels to the leader of a tribe. The tribe leader then goes back. The entire tribe becomes Muslim. Zakat can be given to a person like that. So why not? If someone says there's no one to give zakat to, go to a da'wah foundation and say to them, here is the zakat money. We want you to use this money for the sake of Allah in guiding people to Allah. Maybe have an open food day where people are fed. And I'll tell you this, one of the most beautiful things I saw in Montreal, Canada, they have an iftar at Concordia University that feeds 700 people every day. Muslim or non-Muslim, it's in the street. They feed every day, and when I was there right before this Ramadan, they said to me that, you know, we're planning to take off some of the days because we don't really know the benefit of this. I said, don't stop it. Out of all the dawah activities you're doing, this is one of the most blessed dawah activities you could ever do. And keep doing it. So much so that the dean of the university, who is non-Muslim, sponsored the first iftar. You know when we have iftar sponsorships? The kuffar were sponsoring the iftar. Because they knew of the benefit to the people. أَلْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ Give it to those people who are calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that zakah is to be given فِي الرِّقَابِ The slaves. If there are any slaves in the world, those Muslim slaves are to be freed. And as Shaykh Salah Hafidhahullah mentioned in one of the fatwas, that it's also permissible for someone to free the Muslim prisoners. Do we have Muslim prisoners here in the US? You better believe we have them. You have like 5,000 people who are held unjustly. One person has a government lawyer, the other one has American justice for $2 million. The American justice is not an expensive justice system. And someone who cannot speak, and someone that doesn't have that money to defend themselves, will most likely be sentenced. And the person that does have the wealth, will be freed. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ Why is the zakah not going to these people for their legal defense fund and to free them for the injustice that's happened to them? Thirdly, الْغَارِمِينَ The people who are in debt. And the American public here, even though they may seem like they're wealthy, the average American is in debt $8,000. If they just normally pay with riba, it will take them 40 years to pay off that debt. They will live their life enslaved to the system. And so the Muslim khilafah, when it passes out that zakat, it's to free the people from the shackles of debt. And Allah knows we have people in debt in our community. Why can't we free them from those shackles so that they can come forward and be contributing members in the community? And lastly, and there are many other avenues to give out in zakat, Ibn al-Sabil. Ibn al-Sabil is the traveler. And here at Dar al-Salam, I'm just mentioning this, that there are travelers that come into our community. They don't have wealth, they may want to study at the Ma'had, they want to study some of the institutes that we have in this area, but they don't have wealth to go forward in that. Why isn't the zakat going to them? So that they can benefit and from the knowledge that they're accumulated in their travels, and inshallah ta'ala they will come back to the Muslims as enormously contributing members. In conclusion, I just wanted to remind you inshallah ta'ala that in these coming days that Ramadan is coming to its end. And like I said before, that it's not a sad moment if someone learns the lesson of Ramadan and continues after Ramadan. It is a sad moment when someone doesn't learn the lesson of Ramadan and desists. And when the Eid comes, it's almost like a stop sign to all the good actions. Don't let it be a stop sign, but let it be the place where you just begin. You're coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that last day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made fard and told us that we have to pay zakatul fitr. Zakatul fitr is upon every Muslim. Whether they're male or female, young or old, they have to pay zakatul fitr. That gets Allah ta'ala outside in the souq. The amount of kilos that you have to pay and how you can pay it, inshaAllah ta'ala, bi'idhnillah, make sure that gets paid and don't let it get delayed and don't miss that zakah. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unthana. Allahumma nahyitahu minna fahyi ala al-islam wa man tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-iman. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة